Hello, radio readers. We are reading and discussing A High Plains Sense of Place with Sam Gwynne's Empire of the Summer Moon, a social history, as Gwynne writes, of the rise and fall of the Comanche. After 30-some years, the Comanche capitulated to the U.S., surrendering horses and weapons in exchange for life on a reservation. There, Gwynne writes, everything that defined Comanche existence was exchanged for crude squalor, hunger, desperation, dependency. Benefits promised to the Comanche turned out to be insufficient, paltry, and shoddy. Gwynne suggests that those who adopted and adapted to white ways did so to survive, even as they tried to preserve their culture, however vestigially. One of Quanah's first efforts to do so came after just 3 years of reservation life and much lobbying, when he was given permission to lead a small group of Comanche and Kiowa across the plains to hunt buffalo. Buffalo the government surely knew were no longer. For Plains Indians, the buffalo hunt was arguably the most culturally defining practice, a practice that had long provided food and materials for clothing and shoes, bedding and shelter, tools and utensils, shields, even thread. As the hunting band set out from Fort Sill in 1878, they knew, of course, that the great buffalo herds had been reduced, but they were excited anyway, Gwynne writes, because they anticipated that in the hunt and all its concomitant rituals, life would be, however briefly, like the old days. Their excitement faded fast. Of buffalo, they found only carnage, rotting carcasses and bleached bones. In Palo Duro Canyon, where the Comanche had camped for centuries and met their final defeat, they found only cattle, all owned and grazing on land, all owned, an incredible claim, by Charles Goodnight, a former ranger who had previously fought Peyton Acona and later Quanah himself. Goodnight and Quanah negotiated, Goodnight promising Quanah and his band of hunters 2 beeves a day while they searched for buffalo. 3 weeks later they left, Gwynne writes, without ever finding a single buffalo where once there had been millions. They returned to Fort Sill, knowing all the buffalo were dead and their access to their sacred lands was controlled by white men. No homecoming would ever be possible for them ever again. What must it have felt like? What must it continue to feel like to be deprived of that most basic of human enterprises, homecoming and all its attendant nostalgia? What happens when there is no home, no place vested with ancestral history and memories to return to? What happens when what used to be home can no longer support nor sustain you? Today, American buffalo or bison can be observed on publicly and privately owned preserves in most high plains and western states, as well as in Canada. While statistics vary, somewhere between 30 to 60 million head, it is believed, once roamed North America. Today there are some 500,000 head, about half of which are in Canada. Most American buffalo or bison have been crossbred with cattle, and many are processed like cattle for market. About 30,000 wild bison are in conservation herds, with some 5,000 unfenced and disease-free. A herd of about 4,000 are in Yellowstone, where the growth of the herd and its use of land continue to be controversial. Will we continue to preserve land and species or not? For HPPR and from Dodge City, I'm Jane Huerta.
You're invited to join in the discussion by going to our website, hppr.org, and finding the Radio Readers Book Club under the Features tab. That website again, hppr.org.
$10 million more in books written beneath my bed. I wrote or read them all when searching in the swarm. Still can't find how to hold my hands. And I know you need me in the next room over, but I am stuck in here all paralyzed. For months I got myself in ruts, too much time spent in mirrors framed in yellow walls.